You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Myopia to Finish Childhood. This week, we're watching the Eddie Murphy remake of Nutty Professor. This is coming out late because I am exhausted and I've had a busy week and daylight savings time sucks. So, I hope you enjoy this episode. It's still good. It's just late and it's my fault and I take full responsibility for it, but it should be good and enjoyable. If you came out to see Hangar 18, thanks. Next month on 420... they're doing Fantastic Four. I'm not in it. I'm going to be in the audience giggling at Roger Corman's attempt at doing something, which he's made money, but he knew he wasn't going to do. Well, if you haven't seen the Roger Corman Fantastic Four, you should. Thanks for sharing, subscribing, loving us, growing with us, and please keep sharing us and reviewing us and loving us because it helps, encourages people to become part of the show, and frankly, it's helping us grow. Fresher than the next chick. No need for you to ever sweat the next chick. With speed, I make the best chick see the exit. Indeed, you gotta know you're thoroughly respected. By me, you get the keys to the Lexus. But no driver, got your own 96 whip up.
Welcome to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster.
We are Venom.
I got my own parasite.
Parasite?
Sorry, Venom. I meant symbiote.
That's better. What do you do for fun around here?
I want to do a podcast with you.
What the hell is a podcast anyway?
Well, it's a weekly show where I talk about the latest news in sci-fi, movies, and TV.
You're such a nerd. Now I'm a loser on two planets.
The Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast is part of the ESO Network. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view. With diamonds and leather. Friends, they tell me I should leave you alone. Ha ha,
ha ha, ha ha. Tell the freaks to find a man that they own. Welcome to Miami Defender Childhood. This week we watched Nutty Professor 1996, a wet dream for anyone who wanted to see Eddie Murphy in whiteface. I'm host Nick Hoffman, award-winning comedian and person who sits in this chair every week. And on panel we have...
illustrious and awesome horror author Matthew W. Quinn, who saw this movie on a bus trip.
Alrighty. And Kelsey, we have...
Kelsey Morrow, who has no clever intro to add.
That's good start. Postmodern right there. That's what that is. That's meta.
That's something.
Hello, this is Daniel. I frequently fall asleep watching Richard Simmons reruns.
So you're not a pony when you sweat?
Doesn't it feel like you're a pony when you sweat through white face makeup? This is like white girls. This is weird, man.
I sincerely thought that was Richard Simmons for the longest time.
Me too.
Gross. Ooh, this is a lot of movie that happened. Okay, so for those of you who haven't seen the original or listened last week, there's a movie that was once upon a time called Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And then Jerry Lewis pretended he liked French people and then made a remake where he was the nerd and then Professor Frink was the thing. And then ultimately, this is what a black person does when he makes a comedy movie.
What? Whoa, let's back up there.
Eddie Murphy in 1996 remade this movie, and for those of you who don't know, Jerry Lewis executive produced this. He put up a lot of the money to make this movie. And frankly, I don't think it's a bad idea. For those of you, unlike Daniel, who liked the original, this is him trying to bring it into the 1990s. And whether or not you think either of them are successful, he thought this was a successful idea. That's why he put the money forward. At this point, Jerry Lewis was effectively doing MS fundraisers.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. And then living off residuals off Turner Classic Movies.
Well, the thing about Eddie Murphy, too, at this time, was this was actually his big comeback, because through much of the 80s, he was like the it comedian. He was like raw, he was like raunchy, he was like...
well, and gritty, 48 yeah, Hours, for example.
Taboo shattering is what he was. And then when he got into the early 90s, his film started flopping, and this was like the first success he'd had in half a decade.
Well, and his...
So you didn't like The Golden Child? Is that what you're saying?
No, I haven't seen The Golden Child, but his movies were like bombing. Like, I think Vampire in Brooklyn was something he did.
It was that's what you call a shame. Also, was this before or after he was arrested for soliciting
this
prostitutes?
Is before.
Okay. We'll get to that before Dr. Doolittle, I guess. Stay tuned for Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah, I think it was right before Dr. Doolittle.
Do you not know this story? He was arrested with a prostitute in his car who he claimed was a woman, turned out to be a man in drag.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Yeah, that was like all over in the 90s.
Yeah, it sure was. And then he did an animated claymation show called The PJs.
Then he married one of the Spice Girls and left her when she was 8 months pregnant.
And then he ran for Congress as Newt Gingrich, the black version. So here's what we have.
A little too skinny for that, I think.
Nice.
That's a good touch. I mean, I guess stay tuned for when we touch on Beverly Hills Cop 3, but for now we're talking about the Nutty Professor.
You want to touch on Beverly Hills Cop 3? My, Nick, I didn't know that.
Well, that's, I mean, if any of the Beverly Hills Cop movies are an episode, it's the third one where they ended up at amusement park.
With George Lucas?
With George Lucas, that's exactly right. Because again, what ruins a franchise that's successful more than George Lucas?
Hey, Eddie, you know what would really go great in this amusement park scene is Sebulba.
Sebulba is available to show up in your animated
and
movie.
Some pod Eddie Murphy
would probably try and solicit Sebulba.
Oh.
I swear I didn't know he was a Muppet.
He's a Muppet, baby. Yeah.
Ooh. Oh my God.
Goodness gracious.
Even that feels dated, and this movie came out 3 years later. So speaking of a movie that came out 3 years later, who wants to give us the plot synopsis?
Daniel.
Sudsy, go ahead.
All right. Well, in the original, it was Jerry Lewis didn't want to be so much of a nerd, so he drank himself a potion that turned him into a bowling asshole. And this was supposed to be funny, but anyway, in this new version...
Oh, please.
Burn.
In this new version, Sherman Klump is the titular professor who is kind-hearted, but also very obese. I think they say at one point he weighs 400 pounds.
Yeah.
He's tried a bunch of weight loss techniques, but none of them have worked, so he's trying to devise a formula that essentially rewrites obese people's DNA so they can lose weight very quickly. So he tests it on himself, becomes the skinny man who was a lot more obnoxious than he was as a fat person, and rechristens himself Buddy Love so that he can finally date this graduate student that he has a crush on.
Yep. So the first one we talked about because, in the first one, the onus for it is after being beaten up by a footballer, he feels so infantilized that when
he literally walks into a crib in one scene and starts crying about his poor dada.
Please, I can't. I mean, alcohol can only erase so much. But in that original one, his infantilization requires Miss Purdy, his undergraduate student, to help him out, right? And in that scene, Jerry Lewis is infantilized because he needs... I mean, it's 1960, for Christ's sake. He needs a woman to help him literally stand up at that point. Mm-hmm. In this movie, I think the more interesting reason is he's a fat man. He sympathizes with fat people already. That's already established. And he's trying to save a guinea pig who weighs as much as a football. Jesus. A 32-ounce like guinea pig or whatever it is.
This guinea pig was monstrous.
I mean, it's a Jim Henson reject, right? Like, yeah. it's a puppet nightmare out of something out of Fraggle Rock.
It's like something that crawled out of Hoggle's anus.
No, I think I was right the first time. It's Jabba the Hutt if it was done by the Fraggles. And it wiggles at one point.
It's less a Fraggle and more of a doozer, is that what they were called?
That's exactly right. Regardless. So he's already sympathizing with the weight thing, and he meets Jada Pinkett, who plays Miss Purdy, who is another grad student who's teaching a class across the way, but is aware of his research, and suddenly he horns up a bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one good thing about this is they at least made those characters equals.
Relatively speaking. Right.
I mean,
it's not that it's his student.
Right.
Right. She's still a grad student because she's a woman and she has to be inferior to him. But we'll get to that because that'll come back.
She's employed by the university and is obviously very good at what she does on her own.
Well, and speaking of the university, I do like the incompetence of the beginning. In the original, there's an explosion. At this one, there's 5,000 hamsters.
Yeah, the gerbil apocalypse.
I think that was actually a line in there where he's talking about how they were really gerbils because hamsters tend to be smaller, more compact, or whatever.
And something about the scrotums. Something. We get a lot of genital talk in this movie, which Jerry Lewis only exhibits by rubbing against people. But
so many restraining orders. I just don't know what to do.
And scene. All right, so we come back to this. We can talk for a second about Larry Miller. In the old movie, the crusty old dean is played by a bespectacled guy who's just like, ooh, that nerd house.
Robot house?
In this one, it's Larry Miller, who, if you don't know, is a comedian who kind of always plays it in a suit and threatens to murder people.
Wasn't he in the Dr. Dolittle remake, too?
He was in the Dr. Dolittle remake. I think as a head security guard.
I think so.
Yeah. But that's just how he plays. He just plays kind of, if you've ever seen Scrubs, he's always the janitor type. He's
kind of like Paul Scheer.
Yes. He's the nerdy type who plays the confident nerdy type and therefore the aggressive nerdy type.
Who claims that Professor Klump has alienated all the school's rich donors. I'm not really sure how he would have done that.
Well, before we get into what Matt just said, the biggest difference between the Jerry Lewis one and this one is that the Jerry Lewis one is the humor comes a lot from the flailing and the bigness of his character. In this one, it's often scatological. And I'm not going to pick one.
And the bigness of his character.
Well, right. Well done, Matt. I'm not going to pick or choose one. I will say I think the Jerry Lewis one has a lot more thinky jokes. I think this one is more out loud funny because this is all farts, and we're introduced to that here where there's a hamster taking a shit into the coffee of the dean.
Edna, the cream has turned.
Yes.
And that's what I'm thinking because, like, literally there's just a hamster hanging from the chandelier pooping in his drink.
Well, I think this was the same guy that directed Ace Ventura, so...
And there's nothing wrong with that, but that's what it is. It's literally all large gestures and fart jokes.
I do disagree that it's only large gestures and fart jokes. There's a lot of understated moments where Eddie Murphy's just kind of reacting to things in that same rubber-faced way that Jerry Lewis did, but Eddie Murphy's more subdued with it, which kind of works a little better.
Well, and we'll get to the difference
until
in comedy.
Until we get to Buddy Love, then he is not subdued at all.
We'll right.
To that.
Well, and I guess the differences between the two endearing characters, maybe it's just that it's 2018, but in this context, the nerd comedy is weird because I think a character like Jerry Lewis, well, I was going to say doesn't exist anymore, but then fucking Big Bang Theory exists, and I hate Big Bang Theory, but Big Bang Theory is Jerry Lewis's character, right? It's just awkward nerds, awkward nerds, awkward nerds, and then maybe a female awkward nerd will show up.
The difference
with boobums
between stuff like Big Bang Theory and actual nerd comedies, Big Bang Theory looks down on nerds.
Well, Big Bang Theory thinks it's talking to nerds, but is very derogatory. Maybe the comparison we should be making is Kevin Smith movies or something like Dr. Horrible.
Well, that's the other thing about Jerry Lewis and his real persona. He was a gigantic asshole.
Well, more than an asshole. I mean, hero is not a term. No. I think he's Mike Myers.
He did a lot of great work, obviously, and he got the Gene Herschelt Humanitarian Award for his...
Well, it's because people didn't see the day the clown cried.
No, it was for all the work he did with muscular dystrophy and all that stuff, which, you know, that's great stuff, and he raised a lot of money for them, but you're right. He was like Mike Myers, who took himself very seriously, even though he did a lot of... silly jokes in retrospect, and if anybody questioned him, he had a temper.
Well, and that's where we should talk about Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy at this point had taken a long fall from grace. He was the kind of hero of stand-up comedy after Richard Pryor, right? And so now he's making movies for kids, and there's a little bit of that rough edge here, right? So let's walk through the plot a little bit, right? At first, he is the professor who's elbowy and knocking over stuff because he's a fat guy. In fact, that's how he releases the hamsters. He takes a quick turn. He's like, well, I picked up my baggage and I took a turn. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. And then
he sounds like Chef's dad the entire movie.
Or Dr. Hubbard.
Yeah. Or flip it around. This is 96. This is before South Park. This is before that. So
Dr. Hubbard was more recent?
When's Dr. Hubbard?
The doctor from The Simpsons. Who's you not
mean,
Dr. Nick.
You mean Dr. Hibbert?
Hibbert. Oh. Well, Hibbert is based on Cosby show, the first Cosby show in the 80s that was beating them week over week. So, I mean, yes, it's after, but not by much, because this is 96. It was probably made in 95. That's season 6 of The Simpsons before Hibbert really mattered that much. But it's still based on Bill Cosby's character in The Cosby Show, which was, you know, taking him over the coals, which I think is what one of the shows that Bill George Bush referenced. Right?
I think you're right. Yeah. Well, I think you're talking about when Dan Quayle was like, we need more families like the Waltons and less families like the Simpsons.
Well, I think it was Barbara Bush, because then Marge Simpson writes a letter to Barbara Bush, right?
I remember that commercial where they're watching that speech, and then Bart's like, hey, we're like the Waltons, too. We want an end to this recession.
Yeah. Then they all make a masturbation joke or whatever the Waltons is about. I've never seen the Waltons. Yeah. How you doing there, girls? Good. We can walk through this a little bit. After releasing the hamsters, realizing he's fat and being threatened by Larry Miller, we have this kind of scene where where he meets Jada Pinkett.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and Jada Pinkett comes in. Oh, you're Dr. Klump. I know your work very well. I'm a big fan. I'm teaching a chemistry class or whatever down the hall. I would love to see you. I mean, and to his students, he appears as like kind of a very pleasant professor. But we're introduced to him writing an equation on the wall about like, if you want to be a biology major, you need to know this equation. Blah 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 blah. And he's erasing it with his gut.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's about right,
man. And everyone is laughing at it.
Well, then there's that bit where he looks down and sees the dust. And
I don't miss myself. Right?
And he gives the Mr. Robinson-style look at the camera.
Yeah. And, like, and again, I know you don't like the Jerry Lewis version as much, and I'm right on that, on the razor's edge with you, but it's a sympathetic look. They're sympathetic characters. I think in modern America, the obesity thing is more sympathetic than the nerd thing, just because fuck you, Chris Hardwick, but nerds have been more accepted. The obesity thing, I think, is a more tragic character trope than, because someone who feels like I'm trying to lose weight, I can't lose weight, why am I being objectified for it? It's rough, and he sees an attractive woman, and he realizes he has no chance, and therefore he's going to experiment on himself.
Well, he thinks he has no chance, even though she's kind of at least expressing interest in getting to know him better.
Well, but that's the satire point, right? Like, ironically, she's happier with a fat version of himself, which is only something that Dave Chappelle can bring out.
That was so great.
Apparently, that was totally ad-libbed.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
Oh, and by the way, in case you feel like you've accomplished anything in your life, Dave Chappelle was 22 when this happened, and he had already done Men in Tights by this point.
Now you're just depressing me.
I mean, and Men in Tights is one of those movies that... I don't know if it holds up under a modern lens, but I saw it when I was in whatever, middle school, whatever it came out. It's a masterpiece. I own probably two copies of it, and it is what it is. I've seen Chappelle live 3 times now, and he'll always be Dave Chappelle to me. Chappelle's Show came out when I was a freshman in college, man. The Black White Supremacist is one of the first things I saw.
Well, what was his name? Clayton Biggums, or...
I love that you can just pull that out of your ass like you don't know it.
I saw this a lot. I think his last name was Biggums, but...
Well, and speaking of, his brother around the table when they do the Klumps eating dinner,
mm-hmm.
It looks like his brother, Charlie Murphy. It looks like just a heavy version of Charlie Murphy.
You're not wrong.
I mean, if Prince showed up in the middle of that,
challenged everyone to a game of basketball.
I have some pancakes. Charlie Murphy. Charlie Murphy's True Hollywood Stories might be the best thing that happened after the Daily Show ended, and then you were watching what happened afterwards. Better than the puppets making prank phone calls any day.
That was a thing that happened back then.
I mean, maybe Kid Notorious, but you and I have watched Kid Notorious more recently, and it's not as great. Well,
Dave Chappelle isn't really Dave Chappelle in this movie. He's an insult comedian like Don Rickles, just with his pants down a lot lower.
And a Cat in the Hat hat.
Yeah. No, that's seriously the outfit is. You can see his like neon boxers just right there.
He's banging Sangin' Larry, and it's a thing that happened. So, I mean, we can catch up to here.
From referencing Cranky Anchors to Kenan Thompson all in the span of like 2 minutes.
Hey, but here's the thing. Kenan's everlasting at this point. If you haven't seen, do yourself a Googling and look up the Millennial Millions sketch from SNL. It's one of them good ones. And we done Good Burger. Listen to Good Burger, which is a movie that happened once that we did an episode of a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. That
sounds about right.
Goo. Anyway, so at this point, Miss Purdy and what's his name?
Sherman
go out on a date to what's this club called?
I don't remember. Well,
the Purple Pit.
Doesn't
the Scream. It's a Scream, right? We'll have a Scream as a Scream.
There's two big scenes before that, right? There's that one where...
You can describe any scene you want.
Well, there's the dinner scene with his family where he's talking about going home. And
I just can't. Go, describe it.
Oh, man. There's six people at the dinner. There's Sherman, his brother, his parents, and then his grandmother, who talks about how Michael Douglas was the only white man that ever did it for her.
And they're all played by Eddie Murphy.
Yep, except his nephew, because his nephew is also there.
Yeah, that was a child actor. Yeah. But all
you look fabulous,
yeah.
Sherman.
I love Eddie Murphy's voice work so much.
Hercules, Hercules.
Hercules, Hercules, Hercules. Well, and it is worth note that before an era where Mike Myers did everything, this is, I don't say it's a Jerry Lewis bit, but he plays two roles in his own movie, playing a child, nightmare child, some sort of horrifying nightmare child. But in this movie, Eddie Murphy really does.
Well, it works
a lot of makeup.
Here's the thing about this is they're taking certain moments from the first film, from the original one, and just tweaking them a bit, and they work a lot better. Like, this is the nightmare child scene where it's like, this is how Julius Kelp ended up the way he did, was because his dad was being constantly beat up by his mother.
Well, and
in this one, it's because his family is just obsessed with eating fatty foods.
And I will give two things to this. I thought this was very funny. Like, I mean, to your point, he was taking the skin off the chicken, which is a very 90s thing. And he said, you know, most of the calories are in the skin of the chicken. And he goes, I told you we were going to have dinner. You don't need to scalp it. It's very aggressive and awful.
Yeah. Well, then his brother starts talking about all you need to do is go to the gym.
Well, and that's very Jerry Lewis. And again, you can tell the Jerry Lewis bits of this. I'm a person who got into comedy in the 90s and 2000s, and you know, you watch the old SNL and it's weird and mildly racist, but that's what comedy used to be, you know, racism. But that doesn't mean the 60s are bad, and I can tell that Jerry Lewis executive produced this because there's like those tendrils here.
Well, the gym sequence that you mentioned is another good one, because in the original one, that's like a what, 10 minute scene easily that involves just a lot of build up to the jokes, and this is like a 30 second montage of Sherman just standing on the trampoline, and the trampoline's just sagged all the way down to the floor.
Well, you've also got hit the I think it's got to be a parody of Rocky running up the Philadelphia Library steps and then trying to do curls while eating a candy bar.
And the acupuncturist.
Well,
you still hungry?
But to your point, in both scenes, in the original, it's a failure scene, right? Like he tries and he does the Stretch Armstrong gag, which is funny. In this one, he's successful, but it makes no difference. It's the same end result, but here it's more tragic. You know what I mean? Like, in the original one, it's played more for comedy. Here, it's, like Matt said, he makes the rocky stairs. Like, he runs it up, he's successful, he's cheering, but the failure comes from the fact that it doesn't fucking matter.
Well, and another thing about this is, I mentioned, I think, in the first one, how cartoonish some of the scenes were. They don't exist really in the reality. Here, that's covered because the most cartoonish gags happen in dream sequences.
Oh, yeah, the fat Zilla.
That, well,
oh,
that
you're looking good, Sherman.
Oh, you look fabulous.
The fabulous.
Fabulous.
It's funny.
Well, also
his dad's like, that's my boy.
Well, also the From Here to Eternity scene where he's with Jada Pinkett on the beach and then... crushes her into the sand.
I mean, who hasn't smothered a woman to death in sand in your own fat?
Isn't that how Fatty Arbuckle killed a woman?
Accidentally.
Ah, right.
Yeah. How you doing there, Kels?
I'm hanging in there.
That's good.
Why don't you, that family dinner scene, because I know you like that. What worked about that for you?
Don't put me on the spot.
I mean, right. I will say, it's funny as shit.
It is.
I mean, I don't know why. Maybe that's one of the problems I have with the Lewis movie. It's not that I didn't like it. It's just that I wanted more of him being awkward. I like the nerd character. It's just that he so badly wants to be Buddy Love. This one, Buddy Love is the hyperbolic character.
Well, you can tell it's not a complete change of his personality at first. He just wants to be a thin man.
Well, and it's funny because in many ways, the Jerry Lewis movie is the archetype for a lot of comedies. Even look at the Hangover. Mm-hmm. You have a bunch of plain people, and then the wild card shows up, and people want to be more like the wild card, right?
I call that the John Belushi myself.
Well, right, but the difference is John Belushi leads those movies, and this one, like, and maybe Eddie Murphy like hones down the character, but it's the Buddy Love character, right? It's in Animal House, I said it like I was someone who'd only heard of Animal House in text. I'd never seen the words together. Animal House. In Animal House.
Good it's, read.
We're introduced
Nick, to the nerdy character. We have to put you on double secret probation.
Oh, you crusty old dean! But like, in those contexts, the inn is the nerdy new recruits, and then we're slowly turning them into John Belushi.
Oh, you know what would have worked so much better if Julius Kelp was like one of those nerds that Homer roomed with?
That would have been interesting. And then Buddy Love is
Homer.
Well, is they take the drug or whatever it is, and they try to be Homer Simpson, and then they go too far, and they turn into Duffman.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what the movie should be. And that's not to take anything away from Jerry Lewis, because remember, The Simpsons ripped that movie off. But, like, in the modern context, it should almost be Revenge of the Nerd, and then someone says, hey, nerds, you're rapists? Right? Because if you've ever rewatched Revenge of the Nerds, everything in that movie is a sex crime.
Yeah. Big time.
Like, at one point, the Asian character is just taking pictures of women's crotches and going, ooh, pie. Because, remember, it's a movie where Asian people don't matter because it's the 1980s. Reagan. Yeah.
Well, you know, I never trusted them. I fought them in the Great One back in the day.
Sir, you just used to work backstage at a Target? Anyway, so we should move ahead. At this point,
Hirohito hasn't done with me yet.
Hirohito barely died before Reagan. He died in 88, I think.
Reagan died in 2003 or 4, didn't he?
Well, but he lost his mind before that. That's so.
Right. Yeah.
Where's my mind?
How do you know Hirohito really died?
So we'll have to edit this episode down. Where do you want to pick back up, Daniel?
Well, let's talk about, well, after the Fatzilla, which involves basically a King Kong parody where he levels a city with a fart. Which
but instead of going for the woman, he goes for the chicken.
And she's offended.
Yes.
Oh, which is a beautiful scene. Also, Jada Pinkett had hair which should never exist in the modern era. I mean, she looks like she's wearing some sort of like plastic wig off a Barbie doll in 1973. It's something.
Well, after that, that's when he goes and decides to test this formula that he and his research assistants have been working on himself, and that's when he goes out and just buys... It works.
Spandex!
All spandex! Spandex everything!
Which is a very sexual scene.
And that was that was funny when I saw it and I was in middle school, and it's still funny now.
Yeah. And then the jazzercise.
And then that sports car that he, like, charges to the university.
Which is just P&S car, which is the vanity... Like... This is the most phallic scene we've seen in a movie that's PG-13 since, God, I don't know, The Fox and the Hound. Robin Hood, the Robin Hood with the foxes. That's a very phallic movie. So, what do you got?
I mean,
they go back to the Scream, right?
And he just proceeds to hit Chappelle a new one.
Well, before that, there's that scene where he introduces himself as Buddy Love, and it's just, again, coming up on the spot the way it did in Jerry Lewis's original. But here, I don't know, it's not a completely separate personality, because originally it's just Sherman running around going, "I'm Finn," to the point where he gets on a clock tower and yells it out across campus.
Like he's about to shoot it all over people.
The man, the reckoning is at hand. But.
Right. I mean, I don't know. Like, I think as a whole, this montage feels more... Not necessarily justified, but in the original, it's more of a confidence builder, right? Mm-hmm. He's nerdy, he's awkward, he wants to have sex with one of his students. In this version, he feels like everyone is ignoring him because he's fat,
mm-hmm.
right? Not that he's incompetent. He's shown time and time again to be confident. It's just, he's obese, and so people ignore him.
Or make fun of him.
Or degrade him, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, in this case, he's just screaming from the rooftops that he's thin. The difference is, here there's a chemical reason why he's an asshole.
Yeah.
And they And this is where, at first, it's great, but then, in many ways, I expected this to be the 1960s version, because this feels like a 1950s or 60s sci-fi, where there's like, why, there's a flavin in the system, right? Like, there's a reason why he's a jerk. It's not that he's confident. And that's the weird part about the Jerry Lewis version.
That's what I didn't like about the Jerry Lewis version, is because it seemed like the Buddy Love that he created, who was this womanizing... terrible human being, was the ideal, and it's like, why?
Well, no, time to offend people here. Isn't in Spider-Man 3, I know you're mad.
Wow.
Peter acts like such a jerk because here's how cool people are to someone who's been oppressed or being a nerd his whole life. I'm going to act like that.
See, I disagree. I think the Jerry Lewis version almost does this better, because this is the difference between id and ego, right? This is very Freudian. This is him saying that I wanted to be this all along, and now I get to be this all along. And then the 90s version is almost Star Trek hoobu jubu about, like, this is testosterone. And at one point, I think he has 60,000% too much testosterone, which is just like, all right, whatever. He has a million bajillion testosterone, which I guess means he's running for Congress. I don't know. I don't know what that means. This is 96. That means he turns into Bill Clinton. Like, yeah. I guess. I don't know. This is stupid. This is the only part that I find idiotic.
Well, it also introduces some element of danger into remaining Buddy Love.
That he's going to hump someone through a wall?
I mean, don't they say that it's going to kill him and give...
Yeah, they say that it's like he would die.
If his balls drop any further.
Plus, he's so... Oh, you go first.
Oh, no, it's so they provide a reason for why he can't keep doing this, because it would be fatal.
Right.
Plus, he also gets more and more insane as he goes along, to a point where he's like threatening to kill the dean.
Well, and again, this is something that I will say, I think the Jerry Lewis version is a movie. This one is a comedy. And that doesn't make one better than the other. But this one feels the urge to over-explain everything. The Jerry Lewis version can just say, if he loses himself, isn't that a bad thing? And this one will say, he will die! It's as though, like... Again, it's like The Hangover. It's like,
what about that scene though, where Buddy's recorded that videotape? Videotape. We're firing on all cylinders, technologically speaking. And he's just mocking Sherman Klump for being such a loser, and that's what convinces Sherman to try and get rid of the formula.
Oh Christ! Do you realize if they redid this, there'd be some sort of like selfie on the back of an iPhone, like, hey fat ass, this is me.
Yeah, there would be.
I will say though, do you
it'd
think
be a Snapchat with a dog filter on it?
No, it'd be the rainbow mouth one.
Oh yeah.
Now, do you think they'd go back to fat, or do you think they'd go back to nerd? I mean, it's 2018, which is worse now. Which is easier to parody?
That's deep, man.
No, it's no, not. It's like literally an honest question, because...
That's a cone, man. That's
20 years ago versus 50 years ago.
I feel like nerd, though, like because of Big Bang, like that's like cool now.
I would imagine it would be this type of nerd that I talked about on the last episode that hangs out on 4chan all day and thinks they're owed beautiful women.
Incel?
Yes.
You'd have the incel comedy of the year? No, I'm thinking more fat nerd. I think they'd combine the two and do like Dennis Nedry from Jurassic Park. I think it'd be Newman.
Dennis Nedry?
Oh, Nedry. Wow. Nedry. Dennis
Nedry. That was a joke. That was a joke. Up.
I almost heard of that.
The Ubermensch rises with the dinosaur.
This
and
movie
sings the dawning of the Velociraptor. I am more than mere fat. Which I got. There's a dead. I'm ripping off the Dead Authors podcast here so hellaciously.
Oh yeah, that was a thing that existed four years ago.
Yeah. That's mourned because it's actually pretty funny.
This is how we do it.
But couldn't you argue that in the 90s one that like he is the fat nerd? Because I mean, he's like a science professor.
Well, he's actually respected though, and I mean,
and
his field. Though,
well, but like, when he drinks the Buddy Love formula, the nerd doesn't go away because he's still doing all the science as the nerd, right? Because they do the fundraising. They well, I just combined some guanine peptide. I don't know what that means. I just, you know, getting into your pants or whatever the line is.
Yeah, because you wonder how much overlap is there between Buddy Love and Sherman Klump, because Carl Purdy's like, I see there's more to you than just this loud guy who beats up an insult comedian in the bar. And that Buddy Love is able to do all the science stuff.
That is such a great scene with the rematch between Eddie Murphy and Dave Chappelle.
Well, I mean, and to wit, I'm trying to figure out who the character would be if we did a modern remake of it. And, like, Zuckerberg is kind of that, like, slim prick, right? Like, and that's kind of the character who he's going to turn into. So I don't know who would be.
They kind of already did a remake to that.
Social Network?
Sorry to Bother You. It's about this...
Phenomenal movie.
It is a phenomenal movie, but again, it's this guy who wants to be successful at business, so he adopts this white persona over the phone and starts losing where he came from.
Social Network. Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting persona because it's this, again, like the original, this is Jekyll and Hyde.
Also, a spoiler for Sorry to Bother You, great makeup effects, just like this version.
Yeah, see it. If you haven't seen this, it was last year's Academy Award that was a swing and a miss. They should have nominated for more.
It's on Hulu, so go check it out.
Do it. We're wrapping it up, right? Do you have other thoughts?
Well, I mean, we should talk about the end scene where Sherman gets fired and essentially replaced by Buddy Love. He tries to get rid of Buddy, but Buddy's replaced one of his diet shakes with the formula.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Mega Shake!
Yeah, that. And they go to that... well, there's that scene where they're trying to get a $10 million donation from... I assume the character that should have been Jerry Lewis, but it's James Coburn in this one?
Yeah.
So anyway, and then things go crazy because Buddy starts transforming back into Sherman. They have a fist fight against each other.
Yeah.
Yes, I can.
Well, and like, just again, like the original that we talked about last week, Buddy is an aggressive sexual being. He's interested in Jada Pinkett Smith the whole time, and every time they crack the character. And in this one, I think it's interesting because we see more of Sherman with the love interest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because she goes to dinner with him in a scene that's amazing.
Oh, the ending, so long as we're talking about that last scene, when he finally transforms back into Sherman for good. And he gives that monologue that's kind of similar to what Jerry Lewis gave about how this is what I thought this is what people expected of me. And the woman and Jada Pinkett goes up at the end and is like, you know, I never liked Buddy anyway. He's too damn scrawny.
Mm-hmm.
Compare that to the ending of the Jerry Lewis version where she smuggles out that miracle tonic version of the Nutty Professor formula to transform him back into Buddy Love later.
Well, no, I think it's for herself. I think the original is that everyone's ashamed of them, their own self, and anyone would have done what Kelp would have done, right? And in this one, Sherman is just like, look, I can't be ashamed of myself, and that's the end. I don't know. It's a different philosophical view, right?
I thought our point last time was that the original was all about accepting yourself.
I guess, and then capitalism happens.
Okay.
No, I don't know. Like, that's the problem with the end of both of these movies. Like, I think the original ends with, isn't it Buddy's, like, father who comes back at the beginning of the
it's Julius's Kelps, dad who
Kelps comes back. Back and he becomes like an old style medicine man. He's like, look, I have the cure for whatever ails you, right? Like, mm-hmm. And he's like, you can take this pill and you'll become an amazing sexual being. Okay.
Stand up to his wife.
Thanks, Dad. I'll finally have sex with someone. I don't know. Like, I don't know how you end that episode, but in this one, he ends like as a defeated man and said, look, my research is a sham because you don't change who you are on the inside.
Yeah.
Right?
That raises questions. Is Buddy Love basically the sort of all of Sherman's resentments against people being made fun of, being fat his whole life?
Yeah. I mean, it's
what it turns into.
Well, isn't that what the grandma says? After 35 years pimped up inside of a man, he's going to just explode.
Something like that.
And then I guess grandma humps it. Shag carpet or whatever grandmas do.
Michael Douglas, we find as we said earlier.
Oh, my white man could ever do it for me.
He made me so wet, which is something.
That is a line in this movie.
Well, and then Eddie Murphy starts rubbing his eyes like, please stop, grandma.
Yeah, the second dinner scene where Sherman takes Miss Purdy to meet his family, and they are all so embarrassing.
Well, and again, every time they eat, I get hungry. Like that looks like, I don't know, like KFC just had a sale, man. Like mashed potatoes and collard greens.
That corn on the cob looked good.
I mean, well, at that one point that the father done shit himself when he farts and the kid is coughing up food. I'm just like, man, I mean, who hasn't been there?
There have been some moments of shame at a meal like that.
I mean, we can wrap this one up, man. The weird thing about this one is this might be the most viewed movie that we've all seen for a weird, like, universal picture, right? I mean, yeah. I think everyone we know have seen The Nutty Professor. I had it on VHS. Ooh. I hadn't seen it in a decade, but it is what it is. Mr. Quinn, what do you think?
I thought it was pretty good. It moves along nicely. The movie's not that long. It's about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And actually gets more into actually surprisingly thoughtful in its treatment of obesity. Like, you know, the clumps have an atrocious diet and don't exercise. At the same time, they also have larger body types. It's harder to lose weight. And also, Sherman is probably and his issue is probably, heck, he's an emotional eater. Like, when things go wrong, he just starts shoving down candy.
Yep.
So it's a lot more complicated than, oh, they're just slobs.
Sure.
So it's a lot more than just, oh, ha ha, they're fat.
Sure.
So I actually would recommend seeing it at least once. I mean, it's funny, and it's actually a lot more thoughtful than I expected it to be.
Thank you, Kels.
I remember the special effects being a lot better. Like, I saw it for the first time when I was, like, in elementary school, and I was like, oh my god, this is amazing! And, like, the scene with, like, the gerbils or the hamsters or whatever, I was just like, oh, like, this is bad, and it went downhill from there. So, but I mean, I feel like that's typical of 90s movies.
Especially with the special effects.
Yeah.
It won an Oscar for makeup.
Yeah.
Well, it's got Eddie Murphy playing six people. I mean,
yeah.
Well, the next one he plays even more, I think.
I think you're right. I've already said that I think this is a better version of the story than what Jerry Lewis did. And I don't know, it just feels more human, and I actually sympathize with the characters a lot more. So when Sherman Klump is undergoing his struggles and turning into Buddy Love, I actually understood why and what he was trying to do, which I didn't really get in the first one at all. So just in terms of making a more emotional impact on me, this one is far better than the original was for me.
I'm filled with thinky thoughts.
Oh, no.
No joke 'em ups, but thinky thoughts?
Yeah, I'm having a hard time with this one. Not because I liked it more or less than the other one. It's just such a different movie in a lot of ways for me. I think the original one is a movie. Like, it's harder. It's grittier. I mean, and he plays... I'm player, a cartoon nerd. Like, I don't even know. Like, my Freud voice...
You sound like Christopher Walken.
My nerd, my Professor Frank voice is not good. Why even?
We call this the third dimension, or the Frankahedron after its discoverer.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the problem. Okay, but the first one is more of a real movie. I think the Nutty Professor we just talked about is a funnier movie, right? I mean, that being said, a lot of it is fart jokes. I mean, now that being said, the two dinner scenes are some of the funniest scenes I've seen in a while. That doesn't make them bad, but they're fart jokes. Right? Like, the mom saying Hercules and the dad saying, I'll tell you what, you know, you want to clean your clothes, your colon cleanse? I can do a colon cleanse. Like, right? And then it's just...
The farts aren't the punchline, though. It's just another character trait about these people and that Sherman's trying to escape.
Well, and again, if you're going to be sardonic, the whole thing is the Oprah-esque, like, you can almost pray the fat away. Like, there's a magic way to do it. There's no magic way to do it. And the thing is, the only person who realizes there's not a magic way to do it is Sherman.
I do want to sit before I get in my next thought, just say, if I ever release a comedy album, the title's going to be You Can Be Sardonic.
Yeah.
That would totally be the title. You're right, though. I mean, that was definitely more relevant to the 90s about how you could essentially just in 10 days, you could go from an obese person to the most fit person on the planet.
Well, and that's why I made the joke about the white face. It's right. It's that this slender, coke-addled guy who's struggling with sexuality issues can be like, don't worry, you can do it. At the beginning, is literally not how fat people lose weight. It's just not. And that's the joke of the whole thing. People who gain weight sometimes gain weight because they have an eating issue. Sometimes they gain it because of genetics. That's what the movie's about. The humor comes from the fact that we have disappointment in our lives, and Eddie Murphy gets it. Jerry Lewis is a different kind of sardonic point. They're very different movies. I will say, though, and maybe you'll agree with this, and maybe you won't because you're the asshole film reviewer, but we'll see.
I know there's several people above me, but one day I will be the most contrarian person alive.
Chris Cabin might argue with you, but we'll see. The difference is... 101 Dalmatians versus 101 Dalmatians is a very different quality issue. These people are making very different movies. And I think you and I agree that the Eddie Murphy version is more rewatchable. That doesn't mean Jerry Lewis is making a bad movie. He's making a different movie.
That's a good way to leave it, I think.
So with that in mind... We're out of time because my producer will stab me if we go too much longer on the same movie. So
stabble, stabble, stabble.
I'm suddenly very afraid.
Yeah, well, we're both there. Let's talk about next month. Next month is a weird month because after doing this for as long as we have, next month is a mystery because you have called in to do some public defender shit. It's been a while.
We got that one person who thought they'd reached a sex line. That was rather awkward.
Well, we'll play that video on, you know, if you follow the Twitter, we'll see if we play that one. But I'll mask the voices so they all sound like they're at a Point Break. However... for the next month, we'll be playing what you called in to request. And we've been getting requests for the last few years, especially since our Twitter hit over 10,000 people following us. So, so tune in next week and every future week for the next month, we'll put your past on trial, which is so much better, according to my therapist. Bye, guys.
Fresher than the next chick. No need for you to ever sweat the next chick. With speed, I make the best chick see the exit. Indeed, you gotta know you're thoroughly respected.
Myopi Defender Childhood is produced by Do Better Podcasting and a member of the ESO Network. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Daniel Suttis and Ann Burr. It is produced by Daniel Suttis, Matthew Quinn, and Ann Burr. Thomas Herman is our consultant. Nick Hoffman is our executive producer. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod. Find it at incomtech.com. It is licensed under the Creative Commons license. Thanks. Who you
asking, right? Ain't no like the one I got.
No one can do you better.
Sleeps around, but he gives me a lot.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.